Our tech guru, Jesse Feiler, joins us this morning as we discuss web security and social media management as it applies to nonprofits. Jesse Feiler's apps, published by Champlain Arts and available in the App Store, include Minutes Machine Plus for managing meetings and agendas, Saranac River Trail to help you explore the trail and the city of Plattsburgh, Cyber Continuity, which lets you learn about your vulnerabilities, the Nonprofit Risk app, a companion to Jesse's book with Gail Naowith, and Trails and Places to help you build your own self-guided trails using the model of the Saranac River Trail app. It's always a pleasure to have Jesse Feiler join us. He does so by telephone this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you.
Very nice to have you on the program. So we are going to discuss web security and social media management as it applies to nonprofits. Now, let me dissect a little about that. So when it comes to web security, what are the things that we need to know?
Well, the impetus for all of this came from today's headlines, which seem to focus a great deal on Facebook and the web and issues of security and issues of just about everything is going on.
Yeah, we're ticked off about everything, aren't we?
The question is, are there issues there involving social media that particularly that nonprofits need to worry about? And I think one of the reasons they need to worry about it is that nonprofits are always looking for ways to do more with less, more results, more benefits with less money, because we tend not to have a great deal of money. And there have been a couple of wonderful breakthroughs, such as social media and tools like Facebook, that are, I use the term advisably, free.
Yes.
Which is a great word in the nonprofit world, but we're starting to learn that free isn't quite free.
Right.
And so how are nonprofits going to survive this? What are we going to do? Do we have to do some backtracking and so forth? That's how I got involved with thinking about these things.
And in some cases, we should have learned this a long time ago, right? That free things aren't always free.
Like, we know that. There is no such thing as a free lunch.
There you go. So you have some points here. Suggestions that you readily admit people may disagree with, but at least they start a discussion.
Absolutely, because we're really in a very, very difficult period of time with anything involving social media right now. I think there hasn't really been a widespread understanding of how serious the social media problems are.
So one of the things that you talk about is getting rid of cross-domain logins. I think I know what that means. I'm not positive I know what that means, but let me see if I'm right. So when they ask me to log in to a website and they say, "Oh, would you like to use your Facebook login?" Is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So
why is that bad?
Some of us were always a little leery about this, because what it means is that the control of the identification of the people who are visiting your website and who may be giving you money and all of those nifty things, that control is to a certain extent outsourced, and you don't control everything. Now, by the way, I'm speaking personally as a control freak. And I don't mean to boast or anything, but I've been a control freak all of my life, and I know how to do it.
you're a good control freak.
I'm good at that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's also easy to say, "Oh, we don't have to worry about it. You know, Facebook takes care of it for us. Google takes care of it for us." That's absolutely wonderful, and it is truly a godsend for many organizations. However, the fact that so much of it is outsourced doesn't mean that you, the primary vendor, the nonprofit in this case, you don't have to pay any attention to it. That's not part of the deal. You have to pay just as much attention to it as if you were coding it yourself. And that's where the problem comes in, because people say, oh, we don't worry about it. You know, it's outsourced. You know, Google does it. Facebook does it for us. We don't have to worry about it. But you need to worry about the consequences of it and how it's being done and what is being done with your users' data and your data.
So when you look at one of the things on your list is use good security. I guess the obvious question is, how do you know it's good?
How do you know what's good?
Yeah.
Well, there are endless articles and lists, top 10 lists of managing security in your personal life, for a nonprofit, for a for-profit, and so forth. We have lots and lots of guidance there. You don't have to worry about there not being enough guidance. You do have to worry about the fact that you have all of this guidance, all of these articles, all of these top 10 lists, top 50 lists, all of these things. What you do have to worry about is moving them from the bookshelf or the concept phase into reality. And this, by the way, is not just a social media problem. We all know how to live better lives, but not all of us do.
I'm going to jump around a little bit because
I think it's called life.
Life, right? Yeah. Every once in a while, as my mother used to say, every once in a while, the cattle just cuff you. Life just kind of gives you a little slap and says, oh, by the way.
As a reminder.
Yes, as a reminder. So there's a bunch of things on here, and I'm not sure we'll get to all of them, so let me just skip around a little bit on the things that I find especially interesting. Purging old/dubious data. I always love when we can use the word dubious on the radio, but what would you consider to be dubious data?
Well, as you are going through your database for a nonprofit or for any organization, our standards for data these days are different than they were 5 or 10 years ago. Better, I think. We're more careful with the data in many cases. And so as you go through, let's say, a mailing list that you've accumulated over the years, you've gotten people to fill in 3x5 cards at Box Lunch Socials, and however, you've gotten all these names and addresses there, gotten in perhaps an earlier era where we were not quite so sensitive to the data issues we're sensitive to today. So you're cleaning house and going back over perhaps decades of data that you have accumulated that is not up to the current standards. And so the question is, what do you do with it? You know, you have boxes of 3x5 cards in the back room that were accumulated over time. They may not be good addresses anymore. You know, this is the...
Sure.
All that stuff. In many environments, this is not limited to nonprofits, but in many environments, the notion of saying, well, we have these 3x5 cards, most of which are outdated, but there are some names and addresses on there that still might be usable. Getting people to agree to err on the side of caution, which would be to just throw the whole lot out, is very difficult. Because, well, there are 10,000 cards there, and there might actually be 2 valid email addresses, so we don't want to throw out the 10,000. You see the point I'm trying to get at?
Yes.
It's old data. It's, you know,
and you also,
data goes off, just like milk.
Sure. And you make the point that you also don't collect it just in case, right?
That's one of my favorites in nonprofits. For some reason, and no, it's not just nonprofits. Libraries are big on this, too. We'll collect this data just in case we need it. That's not a valid reason for collecting data anymore, if it ever was. We might need to know people's ages. We might need to know this and so forth. My argument when it comes to collecting data at this point is the responsible way of collecting data is to know what you're collecting, why you're collecting it, what you're using it for, and when you're finished with that use, destroying it in an appropriate way. And if you look at some of the modern, particularly the European data laws, you'll see that this is starting to be not just the best practice, but the law in places. It's very different from the way we're functioning in this country so far. But internationally, we're definitely saying there has to be a reason for collecting data, and you have to say how long you're keeping it for and what you're going to do with it.
You talk about nonprofits not being immune from what's going on in the world. How do you mean that precisely?
If Facebook is messed up for the latest blockbuster movie, it's probably messed up for a nonprofit. I mean, in the simplest sense. You know, people are starting to pay attention at a very minimal level to data security. But people are starting to have to deal with it. And some of the headlines in the last few days, and I don't mean to pick on Facebook particularly, but Facebook, we really owe them a debt of gratitude because they've produced some of the best headlines. The headline about throwing part of the management team under a bus is, you know, I think, one of the all-time greats.
Is it because, I mean, doesn't a lot of that have to just do with that you're the biggest? That you're sort of the low-hanging fruit, if you will. I mean, it's easy to pick on Facebook because they're so enormous and so easy. So when they make a mistake, it's obvious.
Part of it is that, but also because no one actually knows how Facebook works.
Right.
And it's actually not particularly complicated how it works. But as soon as you start talking about the principles of social media and graphs of user interactions, as soon as you start talking about things like that, people do have a tendency to tune out. So if you can throw in some highly technical jargon like throwing someone under a bus, people can pay attention to that. Is this too cynical for public radio?
No, not at all. I think it fits in perfectly to the overall tone of the show that we try to bring each and every day, Jesse. And finally, while we're talking about social media, one of the points that you make here, and the complete list you can find on your website, which is champlainarts.com, is analyze how you should use social media. And the idea here, your hint being, look, it's good, but it's not a magic bullet for everything. It's not going to solve all of your problems.
Right. And I'm afraid social media was a tool, is indeed still a tool, that is perceived often as a magic bullet. And for different reasons, but in a somewhat similar vein, there are other free, very valuable, very wonderful free tools that have some of the similarities to the problems we have with social media. And if anyone thinks I'm talking about Google Docs, I would never refer specifically to them.
You would never do that.
No.
No, never, ever. So when you take all these, in our last 30 seconds, when you take all these points into account, it basically seems to me that that you can be abundantly cautious, and you should be cautious, but there is a point where you can be overly cautious.
Yeah, and don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Okay.
I mean, the idea that we could use social media to avoid the drudgery of filing 3x5 cards was wonderful, but it never was totally real. You can't escape filing 3x5 cards.
Well, it's
even digital versions of them.
Even digital versions. It is always fascinating and very good tips and points to make. You can find them all by going to Jesse's website at champlainarts.com. Champlainarts.com. Jesse Feiler provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. His website is champlainarts.com. Jesse, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
A pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much. Be well, and we'll see you next month. Again, okay. ChamplainArts.com.